Thank you, Ian. What a great song. Yeah, great words too that were accompanied God's that song, all the scriptures, God's promises, God's truth. Just before we look at the scriptures together, just a couple of reminders. So we're going to continue with our New Year prayer. So tonight we're meeting again, 8 to 9 p.m. And then Monday, Wednesday and Friday, exactly the same times. Thank you for those who joined. Really, really good times of prayer. Really I found encouraging and I hope you did too. So be free to join us on any of those times, even if you can only join just for, 20 minutes or so for the hour. Please do that. Also, if you could remember Sean and Eddie Robertson and Sean's family prayers this week. Sean's mum passed away in the early hours of Friday morning. If you could just lift them up in your prayers this week, that'd be great. Good. Okay. So as Ian mentioned, we are continuing the journey with Moses and the people of God. And we're actually moving from the book of Exodus to the book of Numbers this morning. The theme of our sermon this morning is a collapse of courage. So after the incident that we saw last week with the golden calf and the broken tablets, and we see that God is not pleased with his people. And he says to Moses and he says to the people of God, you need to go, you need to leave this place and go to the promised land, which I have given you, but I am not going to go with you. Now, of course, this brought great distress to Moses and to the people. And so much so that Moses says to God, Lord, if you're not going to go with us, please don't send us up from here. We don't want to go anywhere where you are not going. And he prays. And we saw that really powerful prayer that Moses prays. It was, Lord, teach me your ways that I may know you. Show me your glory. What a great prayer. What a great prayer that we can pray for ourselves every single day. Lord, teach me your ways that I may know you. Show me thy glory. God, in his grace and in his love and in his mercy and in his patience, he answers Moses' prayers and he forgives the people and he goes with them. And he says to them, come on, let's move towards this promised land that I'm giving to you. So in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1 to 3, a land of promise. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a long time before that he would provide a place for his people. This was his plan. This was his promise that his people would settle in the land, that Canaan, that they would have a place to call home. There would be no more wandering around the desert. The 12 men who were sent out that day, they were all leaders of the different tribes, and they spent 40 days exploring the whole region. And when they returned, they all agreed that it was just as God had told them. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. There was no doubt that God was giving them the land. That wasn't an issue. It could not fail to belong to them because God had promised it. But the people of God had to take possession of it. God had done his part, and now it was up to them to have courage to do their part. What was their response to God's promise going to be? They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So basically, yeah, it's great. Just as you said it was. But there's a problem. The word but is the third most used conjunction in the English language. It's a small word and needs to be used carefully because it's often used to nullify whatever has preceded it. The tensifiers were basically saying, everything that God told us about the land is true. It's fantastic. But he lied when he said it was ours to take because there is no way we can conquer it. Interestingly, the Hebrew word that is used there for but is ephes, E-F-E-S, and it kind of means something like zero. And what the people were basically saying is this, that they believed that they had zero chance of taking possession of the land. As far as they were concerned, it was over. It was over before it even started. What was Caleb's and Joshua's response going to be? Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. However, Caleb and Joshua are quietened, and the 10 spies with the bad report continue to spread fear amongst the whole community. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, who come from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. When they looked and when they saw, all the 10 spies saw were giants and fortresses and failures. But when Caleb and Joshua looked, they saw something completely different because they had a different spirit and a different perspective. You see, they weren't worried about the size of the problem because they trusted in God and in his promises. They remembered all that God had delivered them from in the past. You see, it's all about perspective. The 10 spies and Joshua and Caleb saw exactly the same thing. They went to exactly the same places. But their perspective was totally different. Perspective is an interesting thing. There were two prisoners who were in the same prison and were in the same prison cell looking out the same prison window. One saw concrete and barbed wire. The other saw the moon and the stars. One just lifted their eyes a little higher and it changed the whole perspective. Caleb and Joshua went to the same places, but they lifted their eyes a little higher, and they look to the Lord. How about us? In life, when we face challenges that come our way, do we see challenges or opportunities for God to work? You see, the important question is in life is not how big is the problem or how big am I, but how big is my God? Do we respond to circumstances, to things that come our way, in faith or fear? How will the community of God's people going to respond to this report? That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Fear is the enemy of faith. Fear can grip an individual person or can grip the heart of a whole nation. And this is exactly what we see here. A whole community, a whole nation are gripped with fear because of the bad report. And it's interesting, fear can seize us and it can be created by what we know, but also by what we don't know. The 10 spies who had gone out knew exactly what they'd seen, and that's why they were afraid. But the community of people, they hadn't seen it, they hadn't been there. But because they believed the report, the fear was just as real. And fear can either drive us or it can paralyze us. The bad report the 10 spies spread caused fear and panic amongst the people. The people responded by moaning and complaining. They talked about going back to Israel, to Egypt, and they rebelled against Moses, and they even considered stoning Moses, Joshua, and Caleb and getting new leaders. That's what fear does. Fear causes us to panic. It causes us to stampede. It was the 3rd of March, 1943, and the air raid sirens went off in London, warning of an impending air raid. A crowd gathered at Bethnal Green tube station because the tube was used as a place of safety and refuge during the air raids. That night, only one of the gates were open, and it was a slow process getting everyone down into the underground. Suddenly, someone from the back began to shout, I can hear the planes approaching. I can hear the planes coming. People began to panic and push, and a stampede ensued. That night, 173 men, women, and children were crushed to death. It was the largest civilian casualty in the UK during the Second World War. But do you know what the most tragic part of this story is? The most tragic part is this, that there was no airstrike on London that night. It was a false alarm. Not one single German bomb was dropped on London that night. It wasn't German bombs that killed the 173 men, women, and children. It was the fear of German bombs that caused their deaths. So often, the things that don't even happen to us are the things that can control us. Last week we saw that the unbelief and the rebellion of God's people led Moses to come to God in prayer. And we see just exactly what happens again. So the whole assembly talked about stoning Moses. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the signs I've performed among them, I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them. But I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They've already heard that you, Lord, are with these people, and that you, Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put all these people to death, leaving none alive, the nations will have heard this report about you, will say, the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath, so he slaughtered them in the wilderness. Now, may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. For the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yeah, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. God was willing to destroy the whole nation and make a new nation through Moses' family. But Moses rejects this offer. Wow. What humility and love for his people. If I'd been Moses and I just found out they were going to think about stoning me, I would have probably said, Lord, just do it. Just get rid of them. They're so irritating. But Moses pleads for them. He intercedes for them and says, don't do this thing, Lord. What humility and love Moses showed for his people. So God forgives his people, but he gives them what they want. A life in the wilderness. They are judged for their unbelief, and only Joshua and Caleb enter the promised land from amongst their generation 40 years later. Moses asks for God to forgive them. He does, but then he gives them exactly what they want, to remain in the wilderness. It's a tragic story. The journey to the promised land that should have taken just a matter of days takes 40 years. Why? Because they had a collapse of courage. Today, in our times that we're living in, I believe that we need courage more than ever. What is courage? The Chambers Dictionary says, courage is the quality that enables people to meet danger without giving way to fear. Mark Twain said, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. Why do we need courage? We need courage because fear is the enemy of faith. Fear stops us moving on with God. Courage enables us to face our fears and to go above and beyond our limitations. 2020 was a challenging year. And I'm sure 2021 will just have as many challenges to face individually, as families, as church community, as we had in 2020. So it's a season for us to exercise confidence and courage in the Lord. I want us to encourage you in that, to develop confidence and courage in the Lord. But how do we do that? Well, Joshua, one of the guys who had that faith and courage and wanted the people to go into the promised land, was later to be the leader who takes over from Moses and brings the people into the promised land some 40 years later. And the Lord spoke these words to him at the beginning of the book of Joshua. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. How do we develop confidence and courage in the Lord? By daily meditating on God's word. God's word is true. It is life. It is strength. It is health. It is healing. And he's given it to us to meditate. We are so blessed and fortunate in our world today to have not just one copy, but several copies in several different translations. And we can meditate on it. And we need to meditate on it. Because it's how we grow and develop physically, spiritually. I mean, physically, if you want to get strong, then you have to eat the right things and you have to exercise in the right way. And it's the same with us spiritually. I wonder what your spiritual diet is like. I wonder if you're ever like me and sometimes you get caught out between lunch and dinner in the evening And it may be that you had a light lunch or you didn't even get any lunch. And before you get to the dinner time, maybe around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you suddenly pig out. You pig out on all kinds of beautiful things like biscuits and cakes and chocolates and all those lovely, lovely, sweet, delicious things. And then by the time you get to dinner in the evening, you're not that hungry. And the important stuff, the real meat and the veg that's going to help you and strengthen you and make you healthy, you have no appetite for. So often we're like that spiritually, aren't we? We gorge ourselves on all the sweet stuff, which really is not that helpful. It's not evil, it's just not helpful. And then when we get the opportunity to spend time with God and His Word, we find ourselves that we're not hungry. But I encourage you to develop confidence and courage. We need to meditate on God's Word. We not only meditate on it, we obey it. The very same verse, the Lord says to Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. You see, we're to not only be hearers of the word, we're to be doers of the word. It's faith in action. It's putting those things that God tells us to do into action. It's not one or the other. We're hearers of the word and we're doers of the word. We grow in confidence and courage by reminding God of his promises. In Joshua 1:9, the Lord says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, there are thousands of promises in God's word. That song that we listened to earlier, Be Still, by Hillsong, the scriptures that were accompanying that song there were so many promises in there from God. So many commands, and it's good that we remind God of the promises as he's made to us. When we find ourselves in positions where we feel afraid or we feel anxious, we remind him of his promises, that he'll be with us always, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he promises to watch over us, to protect us, to provide for us. And finally, we develop confidence and courage in the Lord by recalling the faithfulness of God in past circumstances. When you get to the end of Joshua, you read this in Joshua 21, verse 45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. I want to speak this over you today, to each and every one of you and your families. Not one of the Lord's good promises to you and to your family will fail. Every single one will be fulfilled because the Lord is sovereign over all. Got some questions for you. In light of this word, in light of the current situation that you find yourself, what is the Canaan land opportunity before you today? What is God speaking to you about? What is he asking you to do? How is he asking you to do something different? So, what is the Canaanite opposition that is causing you to be afraid or causing you to hesitate? What are the giants that are before you? What are the giants that you are facing? Excuse me, at this moment? And thirdly, will you choose, because it is a choice, will you choose to embrace and to exercise the Caleb spirit of faith and courage in the face of this challenge? Another word for you. Fear not for the future, for God is in control. He is in control of your life and your death. and his plans and his purposes for you and your family will be fulfilled. Fear not. We're just going to have a moment to think and to wait on the Lord in silence. And as you do, let me just remind you of those questions and bring them to God. What is the Canaan land opportunity before you today? What is it that God is speaking to you about? What's he asking you to step out and do? What is it that you're afraid of? What is it? Why is it you're hesitating? What is it about that decision that you've got to make that's causing you to be afraid or to hesitate? What are the giants that you are facing at this time? And will you choose to embrace faith and courage and move forward into your promised land to take possession of things that God has given to you in Christ?
Amen.